Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is my pastor, Brian Hurlbut, pastor at Lifeline Community, two campuses, one in West Jordan and one in Draper. The West Jordan service starts at 9:30 on Sundays, and the Draper service starts at 11 o'clock. And I'm sure, Brian, you would love to see some of our listeners, if they'd like to stop by and say hi to you. Maybe have a beef with some of the things you've said over the past several days.
Bring it, but just dress casual, because I'll be dressed casual.
Yes, you will. Absolutely. I'm the token tie wearer sometimes down there. So
no worries. We embrace you all the same.
Except during the summer. I try to stay away from the ties. We're finishing up our review of Richard Mao's book, Talking with Mormons, An Invitation to Evangelicals. And Dr. Richard Mao, as we've stated, is the president of Fuller Seminary, although I understand that he is going to be stepping down here in the near future. On page 94, he has a subheading called Hopeful Signs for Dialogue, and he mentions Spencer Fluman, a young Mormon scholar who recently earned his PhD and is now a history professor at Brigham Young University. He's a participant in our Mormon Evangelical Dialogue. Spencer converses easily with evangelicals, showing a willingness to entertain new and old questions in a self-critical spirit. There is no question about his fidelity to his Mormon faith, but he also clearly wants to link his Mormon convictions to what he sees as the deep concern in the Christian tradition to acknowledge the supremacy of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Dr. Mao goes on page 95 to say, I know that what I've just written about him won't sit well with many of my fellow evangelicals. Your friend, they'll say, can't have it both ways. It's either his Mormon convictions or the true Christ he must choose. To which Dr. Mao says, that's not my assessment. What would you think about that, Brian? Because I've often said that, you know, Mormons have to come to a point where they're either going to be loyal to the Mormon system, and they're supposed to be loyal to it in its entirety, which includes all the teachings of its leaders and its history. They can't just blithely set that apart. Or they're going to have to go with their convictions, and if they really believe what they are saying, that there has to be a point that where they're going to have to break with the Mormon Church.
Absolutely.
And many Latter-day Saints have done that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there has to come a point where a Mormon, I remember when I first moved to Utah and met a lady who, I asked her if she went to church anywhere, and she said, oh, no, I don't go anywhere. And before I could even get my next breath to engage her in conversation, she said, but I do have my Mormon beliefs. And what she was really saying is that I have a Mormon culture, even though I don't have a Mormon theological system that I subscribe to any longer. And once you step outside of that, all you got left is your Mormon culture. And I think that's the case. And one of the things I think is that Fluman here is he talks in there's an evangelical language to what he speaks, and that's what's so intoxicating to Richard Mao is his evangelical language. But I have questions about the content behind the language. It's the question that Mao never asked that we talked about before, that he never asks, that seems to me to be lacking, and it would be an important question. So when he talks about him acknowledging the supremacy of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I'm bound to ask which Jesus, because does he still believe that Jesus who is Lord and Savior was also the spirit brother mm-hmm. of Lucifer and is of the same species as I am and so forth. So mm-hmm. beyond the functions of Jesus, let's talk about the ontology of Jesus. And he seems to just assume a common ontology mm-hmm. rather than engage whether that ontology is the same.
Now we're going to talk about what Spencer Fluman actually said and is quoted in this book. But here's one of my problems that I have with Spencer Fluman. He may be a great up-and-coming young scholar and such. That's great. He may be saying things that, for us as evangelicals, might sound promising, but I think Spencer Fluman has one major flaw that far too many Latter-day Saints have, and that is this assumption that the reason why we have a beef with Mormonism is because we're driven by hatred.
Right.
And he actually said that on June 3rd, 2012, There was an article that he wrote, Why We Fear Mormons. This was printed in the New York Times. You can find it on their website, where he talks, he says this, he says, but many rank and file evangelical Protestants call Mormonism a cult, as the pastor Robert Jeffress did last fall, or a non-Christian religion. And he says this, indeed, evangelical hatred has been the driving force behind national anti-Mormonism. Is he really implying that Robert Jeffress hates Mormons? Because Robert Jeffress has time and time again explained that that's not why he would categorize Mormonism that way. But yet, Fluman's not listening. I have a hard time with anybody who just won't listen. And here's what's interesting. In this book, he criticized Martin when a Mormon said Martin isn't listening.
Right.
He's not trying to understand. I would say the same as Spencer Fluman.
Oh,
that is a disappointing statement that he made.
Well,
right,
let's hope that Mao will indict Spencer Fluman for imputing motives.
Do you think he will?
No.
I tend to have my doubts as well. No. Mao is very good at criticizing his own, those that are supposed to be on the same team, but he doesn't seem to have the same type of criticism for those that are within Mormonism. But he talks about something that Spencer Fluman said, and it's on page 96. And why don't you read that indented part there?
Does any Latter-day Saint think that the accumulated righteousness of a lifetime could deserve that? Theologically speaking, it just does not add up. No Latter-day Saints stand with the rest of Christendom, all amazed and confused at the grace he, talking about Jesus, so fully proffers. His unmatched gifts are just that, gifts, and no one earns gifts.
Now, Dr. Mao sees that as positive. If that's what he really means, again, I would probably say that does sound positive. It does sound good. But folks, that is not what Mormonism is teaching right now. That may be the view, the private opinion of Spencer Fluman, a BYU professor, who on the authority chain of command is way down there. And they're not up there with the leadership. But to say that these gifts can't be earned, you don't earn gifts, that's something we've been saying for years, but that is not what Mormons have been saying. For instance, Robert D. Hales, a Mormon apostle, still serving right now. Jesus could have called upon legions of angels to bring him down from the cross, but he did not. He endured to the end that we would have the benefits of the atoning sacrifice, that mercy could be brought into the world, that justice would be satisfied, that we might be resurrected, and that we might be able to earn, through our obedience, eternal life in the presence of God the Father and Jesus Christ. This is November 1985 in a conference message. We find also Robert D. Hales in 2007, the same man. Each of us has been sent to earth by our Heavenly Father to merit eternal life. To merit eternal life. Even Robert Millett has made mention that something has to be done in order to get this gift of eternal life. He's made that very clear in his doctrinal commentary on the Book of Mormon that he wrote with Joseph Fielding McConkie. The mixed message out there is just incredible. You have, for instance, Russell M. Nelson. This is 2003. He says, thanks to the atonement, the gift of immortality is unconditional. The greater gift of eternal life, however, is conditional. In order to qualify, one must deny oneself of ungodliness and honor the ordinances and covenants of the temple. Doesn't sound what's Spencer Fluman is saying. I wonder if that question is brought up in these private discussions. Well, wait a minute, Spencer Fluman. What's your priesthood authority compared to, let's say, a Russell M. Nelson or a Robert D. Hales?
Right.
If your words were put against what they are saying, which carries more weight in the scheme of things?
Right.
He would have to say that the apostles do, that he disagrees with them. Of course, to disagree with the apostles is something you're not supposed to do. They are sent by God to guide the church, but yet some of these guys just don't seem to be stepping in line on that. And it's confusing when you talk to them, because they do talk about salvation by grace. Mm-hmm. But what do they mean by that?
Right.
You have to ask those questions. What's your overall assessment? I mean, if somebody is thinking about buying this book, are they going to get a good understanding of what's really going on within the Mormon church?
No, they're not. They're going to hear one man's perspective from his discussion with a small sampling of Mormon friends that think alike, who don't represent what takes place in the local ward on a regular basis and don't seem to represent what takes place even in general conference in what's disseminated to the masses. So they're not going to get that. Instead, what they're going to get is how an evangelical scholar is trafficking along in his discussions with Mormon scholars who are living out on the front fringes of Latter-day Saint theology and either A, trying to push the envelope, or B, trying to repackage it so that it becomes more palatable for people on the outside and somehow more receptive. At the very end of the book, Mao tells an illustration of knowing Abraham Lincoln. And he talks about who would know Abraham Lincoln more, a little girl living next door to Abraham Lincoln or a scholar studying Lincoln years and years down the road. And his assessment is that the scholar would know all the facts about Lincoln and might know interpretations about Lincoln and his debates and different things that Lincoln did, but he wouldn't know Lincoln. And he uses this illustration this way in his concluding paragraph. The basic point of the sermon illustration of my childhood then still holds for me. A person can fall far short of a robust theological orthodoxy and still be in a genuine relationship with Jesus. It's not that doctrine, careful theological formulation, is unimportant. We have to work hard at that. If we want to have our relationship with the Lord solidly grounded in truth, I have to remind myself of that in my own life constantly. And I also like engaging in that important theological work with my Mormon friends. Here's the problem is he finishes by insinuating in his discussion that in some way Mormons could be wildly aberrant in their theology but still have a personal relationship with Jesus. My concern is they may have a relationship with Jesus, but it'll be the wrong Jesus, because it'll be a relationship with a Jesus whose essential properties are articulated and defined differently than the historic Jesus of the Christian faith.
And of course, that is a subject that needs to be discussed if we're going to have a proper dialogue with our LDS friends. Thanks, Brian. I've really appreciated you coming and spending this time with us, and I hope people get a lot out of your wisdom over these past several broadcasts.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic, and this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.